Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And so we have this right here. We have him talking about the cloud, but he's also talking about the glory. And so I just want you to know, the cloud and the glory are the same. All right? The cloud that he's talking about is the glory of God. And so he calls Moses up there, and Joshua went with him. He calls him up there, and everybody can see the cloud, the glory of the Lord, for 6 days. On the seventh day, out of the glory, out of the cloud, God calls Moses into the midst. And he says this in verse 17. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain. And I think this is important because it says that it was like this in the sight of the people of Israel. In other words, Moses had gone up. Moses and Joshua had gone up. The rest of the people were down below. When they looked up and they saw the glory of the Lord, it was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain. Isn't that awesome? Now think about this. Up on the mountain, it's a cloud. It's the glory. But when you're looking at it from their perspective and they're looking up at the mountain, what they see is fire. Hallelujah. Woo! That means God is able to do what he says he's going to do. Amen? Amen. Verse 18. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. So the cloud and the glory are the same. The people of Israel, when they saw, when they looked up, they saw like a devouring fire. In Exodus chapter 40, he's given instructions, and we're going to see this in verse 34, Exodus 40, 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And we're talking about the presence of the Lord, and we talked about the tent of meeting that Moses established, that he would go and he would meet with God there. And when he would go to the tent of meeting outside of the camp, then the glory of the Lord would come down. And it says, we read last week and the week before, how the people would watch Moses go to the tent of meeting and watch the cloud, the glory of the Lord, come down. Okay? And they worshiped God when they saw that. Okay? So here's another case of this taking place. And in verse 36, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. Let's just go ahead and read verse 48 or 38. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And so what I want to share about this is they're in the wilderness. They've come out of Egypt. They're experiencing some freedom, but they're living in the wilderness because they can't go into the promised land yet because they don't have the faith. But God's going to take care of them. And so during the day, he provides a cloud, and at night, he provides fire. Now, if you know anything about the wilderness, the reason God did that is because in the wilderness, it's hot during the day. And so God would provide the cloud. They would see the cloud. And when the cloud was stationary, they were stationary. If the cloud left, they would leave. But at night in the wilderness, it would get cold. And so the cloud, the glory, turned from a cloud to fire. Why? Two reasons: to give them heat, but also to give them light. Now, if you're one of the Israelites and you're about in the wilderness, Do you have anything to worry about as long as you can see the cloud or the fire? No. Absolutely nothing to worry about. So if you're one of the Israelites, you're in the wilderness, and you're watching the cloud, you're watching the fire, and you know that as long as you stay close to it, there's no problem. Guess what that does for you? That gives you a lot of strength. That gives you a lot of courage. That lets you know that whatever you want to do in the wilderness that God permits, you're able to do because he's not moving. But you also know that when he moves, when the cloud moves, when the fire moves, you're moving too. So do you have to wonder about what to do? No. All you have to do is keep your eyes on the cloud, keep your eyes on the fire. If it moves, you move. If it stays, you stay. Now, is that hard? Woo! No, it's not. That's a place of great strength. The cloud and the fire were there to protect them, to help them. And if we know that that's the way God is looking after our lives, then we come to a place of great strength that we have with the Lord when we become intimate with him. They didn't have to worry about, are we leaving today? You think we're going anywhere today? They didn't have to worry about, do we have to make reservations? You know, all they had to do was watch God. Watch the cloud. Watch the fire. They looked for the glory, and the glory determined what they were going to do. And so that became their source of strength. Now, the question is, why do we need strength? I'm glad you asked. And if you get it this morning, we'll go on next week to another phase of the presence of God. But if you don't, we'll come back to strength. So it's up to you. But we need strength when we are faced with temptation. We want to be able to say no to temptation, and so the presence of God enables us to say no when temptation comes. But I want to look at two things concerning temptation. I'll give you the first one first, but we're going to look at that last. The first one is when things change in our life and we don't know necessarily what to do, often we like to help God. We often like to let him know how life should be for us, how he ought to do things for our lives, and then we make plans and we hope that he joins in with them. And so there's the temptation that we have to help God out. And I just want to encourage you now, if you haven't figured this out, he doesn't need our help. What he needs is our obedience. He needs us to be drawing close to him so that our eyes are on him, so that we know we're following after him. And as we do that, then we won't be tempted to do our own thing. And we're going to come back to that. But the other temptation that we have is to say no to sin. Now, you would think that it would be easy to identify sin. But I have come to realize, after being a pastor for quite some time, that there are some people who still struggle with identifying what sin is. And so their temptation to sin is not necessarily that great because they just kind of live in it. But when we live in the presence of God, when we draw close to him and we become intimate with him, that's when we figure out what sin is. Because sin will begin to try and creep in, and if we don't have the awareness of the presence of God or his word to let us know what sin is, then we just take whatever comes our way, and we think that must be of God, and that's not true at all. And if we're going to say no, then we have to have strength to be able to say no. And I want you to know that if you will draw close to the presence of God, live in His presence, dwell in His presence, you will be able to not only identify sin, but you'll be able to say no to it. Now, when I was quite younger and I was at Virginia Tech, it was my first year there, and I remember looking around all the different things, and I remember finding a pamphlet about this one organization, and I won't name it, but I started reading their stuff, and we didn't have online stuff back then. So I had to read everything physically. And I'm reading it, and I'm realizing that this doesn't jive with me, with the Holy Spirit. And I'm young in the Lord. And I'm thinking, this doesn't, like, I'm not feeling it. I don't sense that this is of God. And I had a friend that was coming from Virginia Beach, where I grew up, and she was coming to a nurses' convention at Virginia Tech. And I just figured, you know, I'll ask her about it, because she's been a Christian a lot longer than me, and I knew she would tell me the truth. And so when she came, we met up, and I showed her the pamphlet and stuff, and she said, oh, that's a cult. And then she explained to me why it was and all of that, and it just blessed me, because I understood that the Spirit of God in me was calling a red flag to this. And so I knew that there was something wrong with that. I didn't have to try and necessarily figure it out. I just could go by my spirit, what God was speaking to me, and I had the strength to be able to turn from it. When she came, she just gave me confirmation. That's the way God wants to operate in our lives. He wants us to have strength. But in order to have strength, we have to draw close to Him. And the closer we draw to Him, the less we have a desire to want to walk in sin anyways. And the easier it is to identify it and say no to it. And so when He speaks to us like that, we have strength. Now, if we can go back to the strength that we find when things happen in our lives and we're trying to figure out what to do, because it may seem as if our life has just come undone, and we were heading in one direction, and everything was going great, and all of a sudden something happens, and now it's not going great anymore. Or there's been a major change in our life. And so how do we find strength in the presence of God? I would like for us to turn back to Exodus chapter 6, please. We read this not too long ago, and it's when God has spoken to Moses, and He's calling Moses to go back to Egypt, back to face Pharaoh, and deliver the people out of Egypt. So let's read this. Exodus chapter 6, I want to start in verse 2. We've read these. 2 and 3. It says, God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. The Lord. Okay. Last week, we figured out what the Lord means. The Lord means Yahweh or Jehovah, but it also means the God of Israel. And so He's telling Moses, God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. So you'll notice this in your Bibles. It's capital L and then smaller capitals O-R-D. If you see that in your Bible, that means that He's speaking of this word, Yahweh, Jehovah, God of Israel. Okay? Verse 3. He says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. And those words are El Shaddai. Okay? So He's saying, I've revealed myself to them this way. But by my name, verse 3, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. And so what He's saying is Moses, you have known me and your people have known me as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But today you're going to know me as the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Israel. Okay, nobody else, He hadn't revealed this to anybody else. But to Moses, He does this. So God is introducing to Moses a new facet of who God is, a new revelation of who God is, that has not been revealed to anybody else yet. And so this place of intimacy creates in us an awareness of who God is. And that experience, understanding who God is, creates within us strength, a source of strength. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why did God speak to Moses in this way? Because Moses needed strength for what he was called to. And that is found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. If we'll read that with me. Exodus 6, 1. We were at 2 and 3. Now we're reading 1. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And you say, well, big deal. No, it is a big deal. Because God just spoke to Moses, and he had been telling him, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. You're going to deliver my people." Now, Moses had known that all of his life. He tried to help God. We talked about that earlier, right? And he had to go out into the wilderness to become intimate with God and lean on God, not help him. Okay? So he's telling Moses, "Moses, you're going back to Egypt. You're going to deliver the people now." Now, can I tell you something? That's a big job. That's a heavy assignment. That's going to take a lot of strength. Now, Moses already knows in his mind what this means. He knows that it means that he's got to go back to Pharaoh. It means that he's got to face them and all of their strength. And God says in verse 1, "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh.'" In other words, he's saying, "Moses, I want you to understand who I am. And when you understand who I am, you'll have the strength to do what I've called you to do." And then he goes in verse 2, "I am the Lord." All right? So it's awesome to see how God gives us strength for what he's called us to. And you say, "Well, I'm not sure what he's called me to." Well, what are you going through? You may have had a life-changing experience. Okay, I just want you to know God is with you. He's going to give you the strength to be able to get through it. He's maybe called you, we always get real excited about, maybe he's called you into ministry. Well, let me just tell you, if he's called you into ministry, then you need strength. Woo! And by the way, you're all called into ministry too. If you love him, you're called into ministry. You're called to love his people. And if you're going to love his people, guess what you need? Strength. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? So before we know it, before we know what we need, before we even know what he's called us to, before we even know what the assignment is, God says, "You know what? This is what you're going to do, but this is who I am, and I'm going to be with you. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. I am the God of Israel." I want to close with looking at Joshua again, because Joshua is going through the same thing that Moses is going through. It's the same thing that we will go through as God leads us to be able to help others. He tells Joshua, "Joshua, you're going to cross over the Jordan. You're going to take care of Jericho, and you're going to enter into the promised land. Here's the problem. There's water in the Jordan. It's flood time. There's people in Jericho. And even though the promised land is great and massive, they also know that the people are big there. But this is the assignment that Joshua is given. Isn't that awesome? And so as God gives him his assignments, the very next words to him are, be strong and courageous. Isn't that great? So whatever you're going through, let me just encourage you, be strong and courageous. Joshua had a big task, and God spoke to him strength. Moses had a big task in front of him, and God spoke to him strength as well. And God will do the same for us. When we don't know what the next step looks like, when we're maybe a little confused and dazed and everything else, it's okay. When we can't see God in whatever we're doing in our next step, this is the time that we can get tempted to take matters into our own hands and help God. And I just want to remind you, do not help him. Resist everything in you not to help him. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, please. We'll look at how God led Joshua and how he wants to lead us. Sometimes I think our desire to help God when we don't understand is a greater temptation than the sin before us. Because we can hopefully easily identify the sin, but sometimes it's hard to figure out how God's leading us. Especially when things are blurry and confusing and everything else. And we try to help God with our own understanding. We try to get God to keep us in our own comfort zone. Joshua chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. So this is his assignment. Okay, you're going to go over Jordan, you're going to take care of Jericho, you're going into the promised land. Pretty big. Then he says this in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Isn't that great? Can you feel the strength rising up within Joshua as he hears that? As he understands he's been the assistant to Moses, he knows what God did for Moses, and God is telling him, what I did for Moses, I'm going to do for you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. There's strength arising within Joshua as he hears these words. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So he's just naming the promised land. He's saying, it's all yours. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Can you sense the words of strength that Joshua is getting from God? What a great assignment. Awesome to be called from God to be able to do this, to lead the people into freedom. They've been in the wilderness. Now it's time to go into the promised land. However, they have Jordan, they have Jericho, and they have giants. But he says, just as I've been with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Strength. Now, this is where we come in, and this is our part. We have a responsibility to work out, maintain the strength. keep everything going so that we can do what God has called us to. We continue in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So again, he's affirming to Joshua what he's going to do and that he can be strong and courageous even in the midst of this. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous now, being careful to do according to all that the law Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it. Everybody say, do not. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may have good success wherever you go. And so now we're getting into the place of intimacy. We're getting into the place of being in the presence of God. And when we're willing to do that, we'll find the strength that we need to do what God has called us to. And he's telling him, do not turn to the right or to the left. And that if you won't turn, you'll have good success wherever you go. In other words, if you hang with me, make me number one, we'll be all right. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart. Everybody say, shall not depart. From your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And so he's telling us, look, the words can't depart from your mouth. What's he saying? That you have to keep saying them. You have to keep saying them. How do you keep saying them? You keep saying them because you keep remembering them. You keep meditating on them. You keep saying them over and over and over again. You shall meditate on it day and night. And this is the reason why. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Why is that so important? Because this is what he says. For then, everybody say, for then. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When? When we draw close to the Lord, when we stay close to his words, when we hear him speaking to us, our assignment, and to know that he is with us, and he's never going to leave us, he's never going to forsake us. Even though it may feel like that at times, Joshua, I want you to know, I'm never going to leave you, I'm never going to forsake you, I'm going to be right there with you. And you can be strong and courageous because I'm right there with you. Woo, what a good God. So it doesn't matter what we're facing as long as we're in his presence, staying in his presence, drawing close to him, hearing his words, meditating on his word. You know, we're singing songs this morning about the love that God has in his presence. And you know what? That's a part of meditating on the word of God. And we need to be a people who do that. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? You see, he doesn't make suggestions here. He doesn't tell Joshua, you know, if it fits into your schedule, make sure you put me in. He doesn't say, Joshua, if you lose your way, come on back and we'll get straight again. No, have I not commanded you? He knows it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The words that we hear God speak to us in the secret place are the words that give us strength to be able to do what God has called us to do in the open. Now, we may not always understand the secret place. We may not always understand what God is doing. But here's one thing that we can know. We can trust him. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And when we're in his presence, that, and we hear those words, that is what gives us strength. It's okay not to know what the next step is. Can I tell you? I mean, you can be free not to know. You don't have to know what the next step is. If, and only if, you will stay in the presence of God. Because if we will place ourselves in the presence of God, if we will stay there, stay close to Him, hear His words, and be willing to obey them, those words, Him, then we don't have to worry about what the next step is. We don't have to figure it all out tomorrow. And if, and only if, we will stay close to Him in His presence, then we will have the strength we need to do all that He's called us to. His presence, our place of strength. If you'll stand with me. What I have figured out is God loves for us to have strength. He loves for us to be strong. We can do that if we'll walk with Him. Draw close to His presence. Dwell there. Stay there as long as you can. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank You for this day and the love that You have for us. We thank You for this time together. We thank You for the time together in worship and reminding ourselves of Your goodness towards us and the importance of Your presence and Your love that we find there. And Father, we also thank You for Your word that lets us know that You're right there with us. And Father, I pray that You would cause a hunger within us, that we would answer that hunger and be filled with more and more of You, filled with more and more of Your word, Father. That as we hear Your words, we would be strengthened by them. We would be made strong to be able to do all that You have called us to do. And Father, as we do that, we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, one more thing before we go. Guys, I forgot to mention that Promise Keepers is going to be at First Assembly this Friday night from 6 to 9 and Saturday morning from 9 to 12. So if you're free, hopefully we'll see you there. Promise Keepers at First Assembly in town. All right. Have a great week full of His strength.